Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business with Neil Stratton and Justin Van Volpen as we go inside the football business and talk about things off the field. Today we want to talk about regards to the top 10 right now with the NFL draft coming up. It's something that people are getting excited about. We see more mock drafts. We talk about what guys are going to declare early, what guys will stay in, and whose stock's rising, whose stock's falling, and et cetera. So we wanted to kind of talk about the top 10, and then we'll get into some around the football news later in the program. So, Neil, how's it going?
Great, great. Thanks for having me, Justin. I don't think there's anything more popular, especially for fans of teams whose fortunes haven't been so good this year, than talking about next year's draft. So let's dig into that.
Yeah. So, and basically we wanted to talk about the kind of the top 10. And, I think right now number one pick overall would be the San Diego Chargers. They haven't had the season, that they expected. They're out there, and with the surrounding of, hey, are they going to move to L.A.? Are they going to get a job? A stadium there in San Diego? There's been a lot of, ups and downs there in San Diego, and the season really hasn't helped there. Even some of the primetime games you've seen, kind of more visiting fans than home fans there. So it's kind of a mess, and having the number one overall pick, is kind of where they're, kind of where they're at there. A lot of people think, hey, they've got to fix that offensive line to protect Phillip Rivers. He's still, kind of right there in the prime of his career. They have Keenan Allen, who's a big-time wide receiver. Melvin Gordon, this year's first-round pick, really hasn't, lived up to his expectations. But, hey, if they're able to, fix that offensive line, maybe that helps them. Antonio Gates is kind of on the downside of his career there, but still a productive, tight end. So they've got some offensive weapons there. Defensively, they're a solid team there, but they've got to be able to take what they've got with Phillip Rivers and try to make a Super Bowl run here in the next couple years. And I think, a lot of people think that Lemire Tulsin from Old Miss, I just butchered his name, would be kind of right now the number one overall pick.
Well, Tulsin, I think, makes a lot of sense. And, for the reasons you named, they've put so much into their offensive weapons, with Allen, with Gordon, and, of course, with Rivers. So I think that would be the chalk pick, because presuming he's the number one tackle, and it looks like that's who will be the number one tackle. But I don't see a lot of impact players on their defense, and that's why I think Joey Bosa is a guy you can't rule out, the defensive end from Ohio State, as a possibility. Every team's looking for impact pass rushers, and Bosa could step right in there and be a star. The Chargers have their defense isn't a glaring weakness, but I don't think it's a strength either, and every game can't be a high-scoring tennis match where you've got to hold serve every week. So I could see Bosa going there. One thing, and notwithstanding the fact that you and I have both talked about how hard it is, or at least it's a lot harder than it seems, to trade that number one pick, there may be some teams that fall in love with either Paxton Lynch or Jared Goff, presuming Goff comes out early. And if that's the case, then you may see a team try to trade up. But, again, trading up is always a lot harder than it sounds. And so they may stay where they are and could take either one of those linemen, either Bosa or Tunsil.
Yeah, and Tunsil, as far as, a lot of people say he's the number one, tackle there. I think Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame is really close there. And I think that's where we're going to have a battle, kind of like we had, a couple years ago, and we talked about being a trap pick there, Eric Fisher there and Luke Jokel. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were like, hey, who's the number one, tackle there? And a lot of people before, kind of all said, hey, Jokel was better than Fisher. And then obviously Fisher goes the number one pick and Jokel goes number two. And I think, Ronnie Stanley has got that shot to be that number one offensive tackle. And I think we'll see that kind of play out, in the NFL combine and pro days and off-season, kind of workouts when teams kind of come in there. And I think there was, you know, some issues with Tunsil off the field where he missed, you know, some games because he had to sit out because of the, you know, there whether there was an agent or financial advisor or whatever, there was some questions, you know, around that, you know, scenario. So he wasn't able to play kind of those first couple of games. He's come in and been, you know, stepped back up and been, you know, that dominant, you know, left tackle. But my question, right. you know, to you, and I just don't see any of those guys, you know, being an Orlando Pace, you know, type guy. And I think, you know,
right.
if I was running a team, you got to have an Orlando Pace type left tackle to spend that asset, you know, being that number one overall pick there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think there's a number of things to consider right now. I mean, right now, you know, if you look back in previous drafts, the guys that were projected to be the first pick overall, you know, you can go back to, you know, a number of players that were going to be the first pick, Teddy Bridgewater. Gosh, I mean, I could sit here all day and name players that in December looked like they were the dominant, no one would argue, number one pick, wound up sliding to the end of the first round. So who knows where Tunsil lands between now and the last weekend in April. But right now he looks like a very solid number one. But, you know, Stanley could easily go ahead of him, especially if Stanley decides to play in the Senior Bowl. And who can say right now if that's going to happen or not? Who knows? Tunsil may even play in the Senior Bowl. I mean, he's a SEC kid who, you know, I'm sure will get the blessing of Hugh Freeze. And if Savage invites him, he may take that opportunity and he may have an incredible Senior Bowl and really shoot up. So this is all still pretty speculative.
But Tunsil couldn't play in the Senior Bowl, correct me if I'm wrong, with the new rule that they've got to be graduated by, you know, that this semester here. And I don't, you know, Tunsil's a true third-year, you know, junior. I mean, Stanley can because Stanley's a fourth-year junior. And, I'm assuming he's going to be graduated there. And, I, you know, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the rule to allow these guys who had graduated to play in the Senior Bowl.
I think you may be right, Justin, and you correct me if I'm wrong on that. It seems like that's still such an evolving measure with the Senior Bowl that I guess to me it's all been written in pencil to some degree, and it seems like something they've kind of been able to fudge with the coach's blessing, if the coach is okay with that and the player's interested in playing. But again, I mean that's still evolving and that's still something that is being developed, and you may be right. They may kind of hold that line and allow Stanley, but not Tunsil. It would certainly be a big check in the Senior Bowl's box if they were able to get a player like Tunsil, and I think that's why you've seen Savage kind of start to bend those rules a bit so that they can get in the higher-rated players because so few of them actually make it to their senior year.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, but you know, that's something that it'll be, you know, worth watching as we kind of go forward. And you know, number two, you've got the Tennessee Titans. You know, they actually took Marcus Mariota with the number two pick last year. You know, and he's provided it to be, you know, a really good, you know, solid, you know, quarterback. You can see him kind of develop and being, you know, potentially that franchise, you know, quarterback for the Titans. You know, was injured, missed a couple of games here, but's able to come back and kind of help, you know, provide some, you know, leadership on that offense there. So, you know, where would you see the, you know, kind of the Titans, you know, going with that number two pick?
Well, they are really pretty solid on the defensive line right now. And obviously they've got their quarterback. They've got a couple glaring needs. I think their offensive line could really use some help. And I think they really don't have a playmaker at wide receiver either, or running back, quite frankly, although there isn't a running back probably that figures to go this highly. So there's a lot of places they could go. I don't think that, you know, Bosa is an obvious pick for them, especially if Tunsil goes first. I'm sure they'd be happy to take a Tunsil to kind of protect Mariota, even though, you know, Mariota's not a classic drop-back, sit-in-the-pocket kind of player. You know, they may go defensive back. They could take maybe a Jalen Ramsey or somewhere along those lines. They could, you know, take a Stanley again if Tunsil's not there. There's, you know, a number of players, a number of directions they could go. I don't expect them to take, obviously, a quarterback, although, you know, we always see that inflation and we always see those guys tend to rise high. But they've got their quarterback, so I think it's probably going to be someone along the offensive line, maybe a Stanley, maybe a Tunsil, or a wide receiver. And again, at number two, this would be rather serious reach at this point. Probably a Laquon Treadwell will be the guy who would be the top rated receiver, but you know, we've got a whole lot of water to go under the bridge before we start really naming who the top receivers are, because so much of that goes on combine performance and pro day performance and those kinds of things. Everyone wants to see, everybody wants to get a 40 time on the receivers.
Yeah, and you know, one guy I think that you didn't mention that I could see, you know, the Titans going in there in that direction, that's Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, who I think is, you know, an impact defensive player that, you know, the Titans could use, you know, there in their 3-4 defense, be like a Patrick Willis, like, you know, type guy, you know, and probably even a better, you know, than Patrick Willis. So, you know, I mean, he could be the stalwart of that defense, you know, for a number of years coming. Maybe is a number two pick too high for Jalen Smith, but I think, you know, just on the evaluation standpoint, Jalen Smith is one of the better players, you know, and I think a better pro, you know, than people are going to realize when it's all, you know, said and done. So I, you know, could he go high as number two? Maybe, you know, but I really like Jalen Smith and what he's done for Notre Dame's defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, nothing, again, I mean, it's not real popular to say this right now, but almost anyone can still go with the number two pick. There's a lot that's going to happen the next 3 or 4 months.
For sure. And, you know, seems like a team that's always, you know, in the top 10 and can't get things right. And obviously, you know, in the news yesterday was their quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel, and, you know, got demoted because of some off-the-field issues during his bye week. And, you know, I think a lot of people think, you know, that they'll go with, you know, quarterback, whether that's going to be Jared Goff out of Cal or Paxton Lynch out of Memphis. You know, that seems to be right now the top two quarterbacks in this class. I mean, Lynch was really kind of high. He's kind of taken a dip a little bit, you know, these last couple of weeks. You know, not the greatest performances there, but still a lot of people think he's the number one rated quarterback. So I think they got to go quarterback there. I think they, you know, Johnny Manziel has we've seen what Johnny Manziel is. And they've got to, you know, I think you got to keep drafting a quarterback until you get it right, you know, just because that's a so important position there. And Josh McCown's been a serviceable, you know, backup type guy, and I think that's what he is. You got to go find your franchise quarterback. And Paxton Lynch, hey, is he? But you got to take that risk. You got to say, okay, hey, you know, who that is, until you get that quarterback position right, you know, I don't think you're ever going to, you know, get out of being a top 10, you know, pick there.
Yeah, it's such an important position. You're right. It can't really be overvalued. I guess the decision they have to make is, do they feel like Lynch or Goff is the guy that's going to really take them to the next level, or is he the flawless prospect that they need? Yeah, I feel like everyone kind of agrees they reached on Manziel, and, of course, hindsight's 20/20. But Manziel was not really perhaps as mature as you'd need for a quarterback, and maybe his skills don't translate as easily to the pro game as they did to the college game. So I think they're going to really, really do their homework on Lynch and Goff. And I think that, you know, again, it seems easy to say that they'll take a quarterback, and they probably will. But, boy, they're going to want to make sure they don't break this one too. Because, I mean, based on the conversation I've had, Bridgewater was the guy they wanted, and it looks like Bridgewater was pretty much the quarterback from that draft class that seems to have the most promise. But because a number of events and kind of dominoes fell that excited the owner and excited some of the people in the front office, they wound up going with Manziel, and I think everyone would agree that was a big mistake. So they'll really do their homework, cross their T's and dot their I's this time before they make that pick, especially given, you know, the fact that they're going – top five with a pick, what, 2 years, 3 years after they took a quarterback in the first round. So they're going to have to make sure they get this one right.
For sure. And then we move on to a team we don't see up here, you know, that high, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, they've had a lot of injuries, whether it's Joe Flacco, Steve Smith, now Justin Forsett goes down for the season. So, and again, Terrell Suggs, he was out, lost early there. And I think really what they are a defensive team. That's what they've won, you know, a couple Super Bowls on, and I think they go defense. And I think if Joey Bosa's there, I think that's going to be a no-brainer. You know, they always draft really well and always take a great value, you know, pick there. So, I mean, I think Bosa could be, right there for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. if Bosa's there, you're right. And again, there'd be a lot of people saying, hey, you know, the local interest kind of player, having played at Ohio State, and he makes a lot of sense there. But, you know, they're another team that's they've kind of got to reload with weapons. I mean, not only is Flacco not getting any younger, but they don't have an impact wide receiver that's in the first or second quarter of his career. And the running back situation seems to have been muddled for, you know, the last two or three years now. They just consistently have had injuries, and guys have had to step up and, you know, had to plug different holes, especially really ever since the fall of Ray Rice. So, but again, they don't. Those players aren't necessarily there for where they want to draft. So, given that, I think Bosa makes a lot of sense. They may slide down and take a Miles Jack, you know, linebacker from UCLA, presuming he's healthy and he checks out with a knee and what have you, you know, to help them kind of improve the speed on the defense, because defense is really kind of where they've hung their hat over the last few years. And I think Ozzie Newsome's a guy who is going to try to build the fundamentals first and make sure that he's got key players and all the key positions, and then maybe try to find guys later in the draft that can fit at those other positions, and but needing to take the best players at the best positions that really can help the team. So I think Bosa is, especially, you know, 4 months out right now, 5 months out, wherever we are, Bosa looks like the obvious pick. But, you know, it's there's no real obvious – there's never an obvious pick when you're talking about mock drafts in November. But that one seems the most obvious, maybe, of the draft.
For sure. And then we move on to the 49ers. They've had, you know, well-documented issues with all the players kind of exiting, whether it's free agency, retirements, off-the-field issues there, and their quarterback. I think, that, you know, again, they haven't been sold on Colin Kaepernick. They did a contract where they were able to kind of get out of it, you know, if they wanted to. And I think they'll probably get out of that agreement there with you know, Kaepernick, and try to go, you know, and you know, again, like we talked with Cleveland, they need a quarterback. You got to have a quarterback to win in this league, and Jared Goff from Cal, you know, a West Coast kid, you know, stays there, you know, in that Bay Area with the 49ers, I think makes, you know, perfect sense to, you know, try to, you know, see if they can rebuild, to have a Joe Montana, Steve Young, you know, type, you know, resurrected, you know, career with the quarterback position there.
Yeah, you know, again, Goff just seems like he makes such good sense there, and a local, you know, Bay Area kid at a real need position. But boy, the 49ers just had such bad luck with retirements last year and losing two key linebackers. I could see them going in a different direction. And I mean, they lost a defensive lineman, they lost, you know, a key offensive tackle, and who knows if you know, if they'll see any of those players return. I guess there's still a chance. But, you know, they could take a Jack. They could take a Jalen Smith to try to plug in there. And that wouldn't be sexy and exciting. Certainly if Goff's on the board, there would be a lot of booze there. But those are some places where they could go. They could, you know, if Ronnie Stanley's still available, that's a possibility. But, you know, again, right now you have to write Goff pretty much in pencil there, at least, because they've certainly got a need. The Kaepernick thing didn't really work out for them, and I think they've kind of got to take the team in a new direction. Maybe even with a new head coach, you know, there, especially if he's offensive-minded. So we'll see. I mean, that's a franchise that's really got a lot of questions that need to be answered between now and next season.
Yeah, for sure. And then we move on to the Dallas Cowboys, a team that will be playing tomorrow against the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, I mean, they could go – I think they'll go somewhere as far as defensively. You know, Vernon Hargraves from, you know, the cornerback from Florida, Robert Kandishi, the defensive lineman from Mississippi, Sean Robinson, the defensive lineman from Alabama, you know, Miles Jack, you know, linebacker from UCLA, or Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, I think kind of will be – you know, in the mix, you know, there for the Cowboys, if they're still sitting, you know, in the top 10, you know, to really fix that defense. You know, they've got to try to, you know, fix that defense to, you know, still make a run. Romo's got, you know, a couple years left in him. They've got, you know, Dez Bryant in the prime of his career. Their offensive line's, you know, is one of the best, you know, in the NFL, if not the, you know, the best. So they got to go, you know, get some more defensive help there.
Yeah, I think defense is pretty obvious. And this, to me, is a bit of a surprise that we're talking this late and Robert Nkandiche is still on the board. And who knows if he still will be, you know, come draft time, but he's a true impact player. He can, you know, I think he really changed the way a defense play, an offense plays. They're going to have to do a game plan for him and So I could see Nkandichi being their pick, but really almost anything on defense I think would be a good fit for him. I could see him going linebacker. Hargraves makes a lot of sense, as you alluded to. You know, there's Jalen Smith there. There's Jack. There's, you know, a number of other players that, you know, that could really be workout warriors between now and then that may be tempting as well. But I agree with you. I can't imagine they go offense, given how solid their offensive line is and, you know, the fact that they've got a top five wide receiver already. And Jason Witten's got a few more years left. And there's not really a running back, I think, that they can take at this point that makes sense this early. So I'll be shocked if they don't go defense. I mean, that's probably one of the picks that you can kind of write in pen between now and then.
Yeah, for sure. Another team that always plays on Thanksgiving, the Detroit Lions. I mean, a couple weeks ago they were the number one overall pick. With a couple of wins, they've, you know, slid down. And I think, you know, if they're in that top 10 and Ronnie Stanley from the offensive tackle from Notre Dame's there, they won't take those 10 minutes there. They'll run that card up there to get a future, you know, left tackle for them to, you know, kind of a plug and play, you know, guy to help, you know, Matthew, you know, Stafford and you know, hopefully open that running game, because that's something they struggled, you know, this year. So, you know, if one of the top couple of offensive tackles that are isn't, you know, on the board, I see them going, you know, that defensive line to try to replace Sue where they lost in free agency. But if Ronnie Stanley's still available, I think they'll lock into that guy.
Yeah, I think Stanley makes sense there too. But, you know, I could see a defensive lineman being the pick. Again, I think Nkandichi is still around, and I don't expect him to be. But if he is, then he's the chalk guy there. They've got to reload after losing Sue, and a couple of the picks that they've taken really haven't been maybe the impact players they had hoped they would be. But there's going to be linebackers there. There's going to be cornerbacks there. There's going to be offensive linemen there probably at that point. And so, yeah, I could see them going a lot of directions. I think ultimately Stanley makes the most sense because you've got to protect the Matthew Stafford. Although Stafford hasn't had the best season, he's still an impressive talent and the kind of kid that could still – he's still got enough time left in his career to where he could really be a big-time player for you. So I think you have to protect him. So you probably look at offensive line first, if the right player's there.
Yeah, and then next we go to the team who signed Sue from the Detroit Lions, the Miami Dolphins. And they've had a really disappointed season, obviously fired their head coach, you know, and we'll see where they go in the coaching position there. But I think, you know, they got to go with, you know, a secondary help or, you know, linebacker help. I think Vernon Hargraves, if he's available, that cornerback, you know, would make, you know, great sense there to kind of help that defense. You know, Jalen Smith, Miles Jack, you know, something in the kind of the back seven is where I would see the, you know, kind of the Dolphins, you know, heading after spending a ton of money on Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, I agree. I can't imagine them not going in the back seven. I think that's where their clearest needs are. I think they probably would want, you know, again, if the right offensive tackle is still there, if one of the big two slide, then that's a possibility as well. I think, you know, with the Dolphins, they may have made a mistake re-signing Tannehill to big money. I don't know. I mean, I know, again, this is kind of a hindsight of 2020 situation. But if a Lynch or a Goff is still there, they're probably going to have to grit their teeth and go to a different position. But perhaps they'd love to take another look at a quarterback. I just don't know if Tannehill is a long-term answer there. But it looks like they're kind of forced to ride with him a little bit longer because of the commitment they made to him. I don't think that Tannehill has the kind of contract that we saw Colin Kaepernick sign, which is almost kind of a year-to-year deal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're 100% right there is, you know, they've kind of locked into Tannehill, and hey, he's provided some great moments this season and some not-so-great moments, you know, this season. So, you know, he's kind of been, you know, up-and-down guy. So, hey, I think, you know, they're thinking, hey, if we can help the defense, maybe we can, you know, Tannehill is a better player, not put so much pressure on him. Then goes to kind of the surprise team, besides losing, you know, two games, you know, back-to-back here recently, and that's the Oakland Raiders. I think Derek Carr, you know, has provided, you know, a great quarterback and kind of somebody that they can build around. Amari Cooper, probably be Rookie of the Year. You know, they're kind of a team on the rise, and, you know, they could go a lot of different directions. You know, Khalil Mack was a pick, you know, a couple of years ago. That's provided, you know, great play there on the defense. So I could see them, you know, maybe going, you know, one of the defensive linemen, a corner, you know, a linebacker. I think they're going to go and help, you know, help that defense out a little bit more. You know, and I think that's where they'll end up going there.
Yeah, I think cornerback makes a lot of sense there too. I could see a Jalen Ramsey being the pick there. There's so many players that they love to take speed players in Oakland. That's been true ever since Al Davis there. It really has kind of continued that way even since he's left. So I could see a Jalen Ramsey going there. I could see a number of defensive possibilities there. You know, Hargraves is a possibility. We'll see. A'shaun Robinson maybe. We'll see. I don't know, but I think it is definitely defense. I think they're heading in the right direction with the offensive weapons they've acquired over the last couple of years.
Yep, and we'll wrap the show up. Got about 4 minutes left. As far as the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, where do you see them going, Neil?
Well, you know, it depends on if Chip Kelly survives the season. If he does, then, again, I could see him trying, maybe doing something a little bit outside the box, maybe trying to move up and take a quarterback. If not there, then, they have a number of needs. I could see him maybe taking a wide receiver. The Nelson Aguilar pick hasn't worked out for him this year. They've got to get someone that can be a consistent threat to opposing defenses. So I could see him going that direction, perhaps offensive line. I don't know. It's a rather tricky situation because we just don't know. It's a rather unsettled situation in Philadelphia, so it's hard to say right now.
Yeah, and I could see Laquon Treadwell, you know, being the pick there to kind of be that big, you know, kind of receiver there. So, yeah, definitely kind of interesting there. So we kind of ran through, you know, the top 10 picks there, and it's definitely interesting to look at here as we kind of go into, you know, post Thanksgiving and into the, you know, right to the end of the regular season and kind of be able to go from there. So, you know, got a couple minutes left here. I kind of wanted to talk about kind of what's going on, you know, additionally, you know, kind of off the field and kind of news and notes there, Neil.
Well, I think the biggest thing that took place this week, at least off the field and among people in the sports business, is that we have a fourth All-Star game that will be played this year. It's going to be in Dallas. It's actually not a game. That's what kind of makes it interesting. It's actually a showcase, and it's going to be called the College Gridiron Showcase, and you and I are pretty familiar with it. They're not going to have a game. The game is always, you know, without going into too many boring details, the game is always the hardest part of an All-Star game because, there's an added expense by trying to get it broadcast. There's an added expense by running the stadium. And very rarely do you have a lot of fans that come in. So rather than try to do that, they're just going to have three workouts for the draftable players. All the NFL teams will come in and watch them, and they'll do it a different way. And so it's kind of an interesting new opportunity, and it's an interesting new direction that they're taking this model, and it'll be interesting to see if it really takes root with NFL teams and takes flight, and that they're able to kind of bring in a couple interesting players akin to what they brought last year. For example, you know, Trey Walker out of Texas Southern was a guy who kind of lit the lamp there and got his game started and wound up going fourth round. It'll be interesting to see if they can find similar talents with this new format.
Yeah, and you're kind of the only one that really talked about that. So I just kind of want to – I know we got about 90 seconds here. What, you know, in their format, are they bringing in also, guys who are street free agents as well? Is that what kind of what I read at your report yesterday?
They're going to have three groups. One will be your traditional draft prospects. One will be draft prospects who pay a small fee to come and participate. There'll be a second group. And then there'll be a third group that works out once on Monday, and there'll be street free agents. And those guys are going to be probably more of appeal to the Arena League teams, to the Major League Football teams, which will be kicking off this spring, and some of the other indoor leagues that are out there that are always looking for players a little bit off the beaten path, the CFL, what have you. The NFL will be more focused on that first group, the group they call Group A, which will be your classic draft prospects that are out there trying to work to find a place in the 2016 NFL draft.
And how many players will they bring in total?
I think it's going to be around 100, maybe 90 to 100. I'm not sure if that's set in stone yet, but it'll be about the traditional size, you know, very similar to, you know, what you've seen at other All-Star games previously.
Cool. Well, hey, that's some great news there, great insight. And we'll for sure, you know, talk about that more. So, Neil, you have a great day, you know, and I look forward to talking with you, you know, next week, and we'll keep going on the inside of the football business.
Look good. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.